Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Commencement de la création par Dieu du ciel et de la terre. La terre était déserte et vide, et la ténèbre à la surface de l'abîme. Le souffle de Dieu planait à la surface des eaux, et Dieu dit, que la lumière soit. Et la lumière fut. Dieu vit que la lumière était bonne. Dieu sépara la lumière de la ténèbre. Dieu appela la lumière jour, et la ténèbre il l'appela nuit. Il y eut un soir, il y eut un matin, premier jour. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
A reading from the book of Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of God, the Creator who loves us. Amen. How do we respond to the baptism of Jesus? Well, there's a roundabout way for us to get there. Maybe it's easier to ask, how does Jesus respond to his baptism? It is presented to us as a quick thumbnail sketch. He's baptized. He goes out in the desert where he is tempted. He comes back from the desert with clarity and a message of calling people to God's kingdom. The Gospel of Mark is so swift in its telling that you could get the whole flow by reading it from beginning to end. Now, the average reader reads at 238 words a minute. You do it in 48 minutes. If you prefer to read out loud, that's 183 words a minute. 61 minutes, and you would read the whole thing. You could do this. But back to Jesus being baptized. How do we respond? Do we get any clues from how the original crowd responded? Well, how did they respond, this original crowd? That's a harder question, because there are several versions of how this is told. In this version, in Mark's Gospel, God's voice saying, "You are my beloved Son," is only heard by Jesus and us after the fact. And the Holy Spirit descending as a dove is only seen by Jesus and us after the fact. In another version, in Matthew's Gospel, the crowd sees everything and they hear everything. Now, we have no eyewitness accounts in the New Testament of how that was, what it was like. So maybe they heard and saw, maybe they didn't hear and see. We can work from conjecture to John's baptism, which had its own impact. And there were no signs and wonders in that version. It was a baptism of repentance. It had a different understanding. And according to the book of Acts, people were still living by that version of baptism that John did. It had had an impact on them, and some 20 years later, they were living by it. Some of them may have seen Jesus get baptized. Maybe not. But they were moved by this baptism as we hear of it in the book of Acts. Even if it wasn't, as the text story tells us, an adequate or full version of baptism, it was enough for them to be opened to Paul inviting them into the full expression of following Jesus and experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, we also speak of how we are moved by what we see and hear. And we should speak about that, how we're moved. We should speak about that. We are moved when we see what happens to other people, when we are present for them. Now, maybe it's true also that if you go to a movie or read a novel or a story, you're living in the skin of that character and you're moved by how that character experiences things. I think we're especially moved when we're present for each other and we already know each other. In sacraments, maybe that impact is inevitable and even intended. The definition of a sacrament that you may have heard is it's an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. But there's another definition that's also worth thinking about. It brings about or enacts what it symbolizes. And so water symbolizes washing, making a new start in your day. It symbolizes that primal act of God forming the whole creation, as we read in Genesis. And so water can stand in as how we are formed. And experiencing someone else in a moment of being moved is therefore moving to us. Consider how explicit it is in the worship that we have in our church. When we have a baptism, we are asked, "Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ?" We're invited to feel an impact and to make a promise. Even if you don't know the person who is being baptized, or even if you never see them again, you get to witness someone who has been moved enough to come forward and say this will be their new way of life. And how much more so when we already know them. Now, this is true of all sacraments. It's true of ordination and of marriage, where in both there is an extra vow that we make to be involved and to be moved. In marriage, it's this: you are the witnesses to these vows now being made. Will you do all in your power to support and uphold this marriage? And we reply, we will. And at an ordination, you're asked, will you uphold this person in their ministry? And we say, we will. If you're not sure how deliberate it is that we should be impacted, look no further than the prayers of the people in the marriage ceremony. There's a particular prayer which says it. May those who have witnessed these vows find their lives strengthened and their loyalties confirmed. Lord, hear our prayer. I would like to get personal to St. John's and the impact on us of the sacraments here. Brian and Margot are celebrating their 50th anniversary. What we see today comes out of the impact of the sacrament of marriage as they experienced it. That's where the flowers are from. the reception in which we are all invited to share after the service comes from that impact. The readings by their daughters, the music that had been played at their wedding service played today, and their special guests who are here, brothers and sisters from the original wedding party, their children and their children's spouses, grandchildren, and friends. They are outward signs of the impact of a sacrament enacted. Now, because we have not all of us been along for the ride for the 50 years, I asked, how have Brian and Margot, in living a married life, blessed others in ways not foreseen? So here are the answers. They have a shared engagement in this church and have been active in every facet of it. They've lived out their marriage vows and their baptismal covenant by being leaders in this parish, in the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa, and in the Anglican Church of Canada. They are living out the baptismal covenant, specifically the vow of respecting the dignity of every person by welcoming newcomers to settle in Canada, notably refugees, but others too. And I really appreciated the specific comment that Brian and Margot are very good at the paperwork. Paperwork which is baffling for the people who are trying to jump through those hoops to come to a better, safer life here. That was example number one. Example number two, and I have permission to share this one too. Idris, over here, newly among us over the past few months, would like to be baptized. And we're going to have baptism preparation conversations leading up to a baptism at the Easter Vigil. And Jeff and Aaron, Jeff says sick today, but Aaron over here, are accompanying him on this journey of preparation. Now, these are going to be conversations, informal, I suppose, about what do you need to know to appreciate that God is calling you into life. And you can join these conversations too if you've thought of being baptized or confirmed, or if you want to be accompanying someone who would like to do that and support them in their questions. Between now and the Easter Vigil. And you may find that you become renewed in your own reasons and passion in the way you are impacted by Jesus. Example number three. St. John's has been asked by our bishop to be the setting for a ministry internship for Karen McBride. And an internship is on the journey, towards the end of it, in fact, towards, or God willing, ordination. It's a formation process into which we have been invited to have that companion role. We're taking that role very seriously. We have a group that will be meeting very intentionally to be that support, starting today. Now, there have been ordinations coming out of this parish before. Maybe you know some of those people. Those of you who have been around, maybe you've known them along the way and you've seen them experience a formation and being called and serving in ministry. You could probably think of some faces. All three of these are examples of formation and its impact on us. And I learned a new thing about formation from these readings, about how God does formation. It's always been there right under my nose, but I saw it in our readings today. In the passage from the book of Genesis, where the Spirit hovers over the water, God doesn't create out of nothing. God forms and shapes from what's already there. From the water comes the shaping of the dry land and the sky, and on we go. But it's true of you and me too. God is shaping what's already there. And that is what God is doing in sacraments. In the baptism of Jesus, before we even had vocabulary such as the word sacrament, Jesus was going down that road of the impact of God's love. And that impact affected him and the people who saw what he did on down through the generations to Christ's impact on us and through us, on those who share this path with us now. It is no accident that when someone is moved by the presence or call of God, we feel the ripple effects of an impact on us. It's like the whole creation is vibrating with wave after wave of that original shaping in Genesis chapter 1. Personal formation that goes back to the Spirit of God hovering over the water, forming land, forming creatures, forming humans in the image of God, forming ancestors who have passed down wisdom to us, forming our parents, forming our church elders whose wisdom is handed on to us, and forming us if we are ready to receive it. In a sacrament, it is intended, and I hope inevitable, that God is fully and actively forming you and me. And when you feel impact, you're just beginning to notice and say yes to love. Amen.
Thank you. In joy and humility, let us pray to the Creator of the universe, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, we pray for your church. Today, as we remember the baptism of Christ on the banks of the River Jordan, we cannot help but think of the continued suffering of your children in Gaza, just over 100 kilometers to the west. Lord, we ask that you protect the innocent victims of this war. May your limitless mercy and infinite love be felt in the land of your birth, bringing an end at last to the painful cycles of fear, anger, injury, and revenge. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of faithfulness, we pray for our world. Lord, in these difficult times, help us to know your peace. You have taught us that perfect love casts out fear, and yet the news we hear each day gives us good cause to be alarmed. Help us all, in our weakness, to entrust our future to you. Help us to overcome the paralysis of our anxieties, so that we may engage boldly and confidently to advance your kingdom here on earth, trusting in your unfathomable love, power, and sovereignty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of joy, we pray for our community. We remember especially today our dear friends Margot and Brian Cameron, who are celebrating 50 years of marriage. We give thanks for their example of love, support, and faithfulness to each other, to their family, to their parish, and to the broader community. Grant to them, we pray, continued happiness in their life together and continued strength and well-being as they bring light and joy to all the lives that they touch. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray today for Robin and all others known to us who are sick or suffering. We pray also for the departed and those who grieve them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, we pray for our country, Canada. As we grapple with so many complex challenges, help us to avoid retreating into silos of like-minded people or descending into the kind of contempt and tribalism that demonizes those who hold views different from our own. Teach us how to disagree without dismissing and to challenge without attacking. May we listen intently to each other, seeking to better understand and show compassion for each other's cares, concerns, and fears. May we look for common ground upon which to move forward on shared priorities. And may we never forget that our greatest adversaries are also deeply loved by you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, we ask your blessings today for Shane, our bishop, Linda, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and for all those who minister at St. John's, including Gary, Alan, Pat, Karen, Barb, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Stephen, Brian, Michelle, and Jill. We pray also for the staff and volunteers and participants in the programs of the Well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all creation, in the beginning you fashioned the waters to be a source of life, and in the coming of your Son, you sanctified them anew to bring us the fullness of life that is found in him. Strengthen all the baptized in the service of his gospel, that we may share his healing, his forgiveness, and his love with our troubled world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Gracious God, lover of all, by this sacrament you make us one family in Christ your Son, one in the sharing of his body and blood, one in the communion of his Spirit. Help us to grow in love for one another and to come to the full maturity of the body of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.